www.attableek.com, The Reviver of Iman.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wa Usalli Wa Usallimu Alil Mab'uthi Rahmatan Lil Alameen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin Wa Ala Alihi Wa Ashabihi, Wa Man Ihtada Bihadihi Wa Qtada Bisunnatihi Ila Yawmiddin Wa Ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, our life on earth is pretty much like a coin, a money coin. You can surely spend it any way you wish, but you can only spend it once. The choices are innumerable. A child could buy himself a candy, a chocolate, a soft drink. You can drop it in the hand of a beggar. The options are innumerable, but the opportunity is once. You can analyze life in a thousand ways, in your mind, in your theory, in your fantasy. You can run your imagination. In English they say there's no issues building houses in the air. The problem is when you want to move into those houses. You can fantasize and dream and run your imagination till the end of time. There's no issues with that, like many of our youth today. So you can analyze life in a thousand ways, backwards, sideways, upwards, downwards, but you can only live it forward. You can only live it forward. A well-spent day brings a good night's sleep, and a well-spent life brings a pleasant death. A well-spent day, tired, exhausted, meaningful and objective, you retire to bed and it's meaningful. In the very same way, a well-spent life brings a pleasant death, and that's the focus of my talk, how we could exploit the opportunity today to effect the change in our life. Otherwise, we will spend today regretting yesterday and spend tomorrow regretting today and so on till we meet our death. And if we don't prepare for death, like someone said, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. We live in a time where a dead cell phone battery causes more panic, stress and anxiety than a dead heart. When a man's phone battery is dead, he is uneasy, he is depressed, he's distraught, you want to clear the way, he is in panic, and we carry on with this dead heart. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah said, a believer never fears the death of his soul, because he knows that is decreed and ordained by Allah. But he constantly fears the death of his heart, because that is in his own hands. So today I share with you anecdotes from the life of a man who was an all-rounder, as we would say, who lived the rich legacy and lived a meaningful life. أولئك أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اختارهم الله لصحبة نبيه ونقل دينه. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, if you're looking for guidance, direction and navigation, the only place you revert to is the galaxy of Sahaba. They were those individuals whom Allah had selected and groomed for the companionship in the neighborhood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this rich galaxy of Sahaba, we select Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and share with you some rich examples from his life. Zayd ibn Aslam rahimahullah used to say, ma naqatun adallat فصيلها بفلات من الأرض بأطلب لأثره من ابن عمر لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. A camel that has lost its little one in the desert doesn't search so thoroughly and passionately to relocate its little one as Abdullah ibn Umar would search for the footsteps and the footprints of his father Umar ibn Khattab, so he could precisely mimic and emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A camel that has lost its little one in the desert is not so restless and passionate in searching for its baby as Abdullah ibn Umar was. We see our youth with hero worshipping. Yesterday I was offering salah, probably the brother is here. He nudged me after salah. He said, "You seen that haircut?" I'm like, "No, I performed my salah and I'm going." He said, "Look," he said, "I think you need guts to walk around with a hairstyle like that." I said, "No, I think you need stupidity. I don't think that's guts. I don't think that's bravery. I don't think that's intelligence. I don't think that's wisdom. I'm saying put religion out of the equation momentarily. Analyze your haircut through logic and sanity, through maturity and vision. Put people of different faiths together and say, is this correct?" Just 2 days ago, I gave a talk at the rehab center, and our heart goes out and we cry and we pray and we make dua that may Allah rehabilitate all our youth. May Allah guide one and all. As I was talking and I was addressing our brothers, and I'm not going to even say fellow addicts, because these are our brothers. These are our brothers. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, "Don't shun the man, despise the evil and embrace the individual. Don't shun the individual, despise his wrong, but don't shun him." And as I was speaking, I started crying and they both started crying. And I gave them some hope and some motivation. But I spoke about this here, that the link of sin is such that you cannot extract one link. It's drugs, it's womanizing, it's a rave culture, it's music, it's intoxicants. You can't say, "I'm only going to take intoxicants. I won't take the full package." The package is all packed together. You take one and you fall in this year continuously. زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث. Surely Allah says, beautified and adorned, decorated for you has been made. Woman, wealth, adornments, ornaments of this world. ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This is nothing but the mundane things of this world. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. Allah has a great abode and great reward for those who obey and fear Him. قُلْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ. Should I not inform you of something more wholesome and meaningful? لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Those who fear Allah, jannat, gardens, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, beneath which rivers flow. The scholars of tafsir write something so amazing. Allah says the ornaments of this world, the attraction of this world is woman, is wealth, is treasures, is gold and silver. And then Allah promises to show you something or compensate you with something greater. But when Allah enumerates and highlights the bounties of paradise, Allah doesn't say, "I give you more children in paradise," or "I give you better gold or better silver or better horses." Allah only highlights the woman and the spouses of Jannah. Although in the verse above, Allah says, "I'm going to give you something greater." Why? Because wealth, ornaments, these things of this world are not objective by their nature. They are there to supposedly bring happiness to us. They are there to supposedly bring happiness to us. Jannah is a place of bliss. The first statement, understand this, the first statement and expression of joy that an occupant of paradise will pronounce at the entry of Jannah is something that this world and its in its entirety cannot offer to anyone. Be it a monarch or be it a subject, be it a ruler or be it the ruled. What would be the first statement that the dwellers of Jannah will make? May Allah make us amongst them. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Oh, this is so nice. We will never be sad and depressed again. We will never. One of the songs that the woman of Jannah will sing, أَلَّا وَنَحْنُ الْخَالِدَاتُ فَلَا نَمُوتُ أَبَدًا وَنَحْنُ الرَّاضِيَاتُ فَلَا نَسْخَتُ أَبَدًا وَنَحْنُ النَّاعِمَاتُ فَلَا نَبْأَسُ أَبَدًا وَنَحْنُ الْمُقِيمَاتُ. Not in my lyrics, in their voices. وَنَحْنُ الْمُقِيمَاتُ فَلَا نَرْحَلُ أَبَدًا طُوبَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَنَا وَكُنَّا لَهُ. I often say when it's a strange woman, I often say that when it is a strange woman, Allah forbid us, our evil and our fantasy, then even a strange woman, when she's crying and moaning and groaning, she sounds so sweet. You know, in English they say, many of those who are candy to your eyes are poison to your soul. Study their ingredients before you feed them to your body. Many of those who are candy to your eyes, they dazzle your vision. They dazzle your vision. They candy to your eyes, but they poison to your soul. Study their ingredients before you feed them to your soul. Anyway, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Nu'aym makes mention in Hilya, كان ابن عمر إذا مر بربعهم الربع المنزل الدار وقد هاجر منه غمض عينيه ولم ينظر إليه ولم ينزله قط. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he left his native land for the pleasure of Allah, which is a great sacrifice, and Allah speaks about this in various places in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِن بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. Those who have migrated for the cause of Allah, after they were victimized and oppressed, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. After they were victimized, they were marginalized, they were excluded and banished, Allah will grant them a good abode in this world and a good abode in Akhirah. Now understand this here, and from each point of his life, there are lessons we can draw and we need to implement and internalize. If we fail to implement it, then obviously the folly is ours. So he had given up something for the pleasure of Allah. He had made hijrat, left his native place. Now anybody who leaves his childhood place would accept this here. There is a nostalgia. There is a nostalgia to that location. There is a feeling. You go back, you go down memory lane, you show your kids the place. But Abdullah ibn Umar had such resolution, such commitment, that when he moved on and he left that house of his for the pleasure of Allah, whenever he would come to Medina, he would never look at that house, nor halt, nor spend time there. He would never reflect and renew and fantasize the days he spent there. People said to him, but it's a house, there's nothing more to it, it's just emotions. He said, when I close a chapter for Allah, I don't reopen it. When I close a chapter, we grappling, you've ended a haram relationship, but to delete from the context is difficult. And even if you delete in your first memorizing, okay, 083786, Bismillah, for the pleasure of Allah. But it's committed here. Who are we fooling? I mean, let's be real. It's not a thumb suck, you know what I'm talking. You commit it to memory and then you muster the supposed courage to delete. Aisha radiallahu anha says that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, then the hadith is in Bukhari, and then I went to visit Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he was down with fever. And at that time in Medina there was this epidemic of fever. So people were getting ill very quickly. So when you are sick, then generally your heart inclines back home and you just think of the family and the home environment, etc. It's common, it's intrinsic, it's part of our nature and our temperament. So Wu'ika Abu Bakrin wa Bilalun, they both were down with fever. So I came to my dad Abu Bakr and I said, Kayfa tajiduka ya Abi? Oh my dad, how are you feeling? So he said, I'm down with fever. And then he said, Kullu mri'in musabbihun fi ahlihi wal mawtu adna min shiraki na'lihi. But the pious were those that even their moments of sadness and illness was brimming with guidance and wisdom. If we can just do the basics when we're sick, it's good enough. Just the basics. Leave alone do anything additional. When we're down and out and depressed, and at that time the devil is feasting with our thoughts, and we're having this negative influx of 1,000 negativities, you know, are playing in our minds, why me, how come me, what's the story? At that time, if we can just manage sanity and do the basics, it's adequate. So he says, كُلُّ مْرِئٍ مُسَبِّحٌ فِي أَهْلِ, that people are at home and they are being congratulated and they are enjoying their mornings and enjoying their life. وَالْمَوْتُ أَدْنَى مِنْ شِرَاكِ نَعْلِهِ, whereas death is closer to you than your shoelace. And then I went to greet Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, and Bilal radiallahu anhu said, أَلَا هَلْ أَبِيتَنَّ لَيْلَةً بِوَادٍ وَحَوْلِي إِذْخِرٌ وَجَلِيلُ وَهَلْ أَرِدًا وَهَلْ أَرِدًا يَوْمًا مِيَاهَ مَجِنَّةً وَهَلْ يَبْدُونَ لِي شَامَةٌ وَطَفِيلُ. Oh, alhamdulillah, we've moved to Medina, but I still think of the valleys of Makkah. I still think of the deserts of Makkah. I wish one day I can get up in the morning and see Idhir grass on my right and Jalil grass on my left. And when I walk, I can see the mountains of Shama and Tafil. And I wish I can walk down the streets of Makkah and drink from the water of Medina. So these were moments that they had. It's nostalgic, it's feelings, it's human. But yet Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, it's mentioned about him in the narration of Hilya, that whenever he came back to Makkah for Umrah, for Hajj, for visiting, for whatever else, he would never glance at his house, drop his gaze and move on. How many of us have that form of control where we can apply, we can decide, and we can assert ourselves and achieve it? We talk of short concentration span. We don't have a spiritual span. We don't have a spiritual span. We make a commitment today, we default tomorrow. We make a commitment the next day, we default the following day. And then, the next narration, Bayhaqi makes mention, بِسَنَدٍ مُتَّسِلٍ عَنْ مُحَمَّدِ إِبْنِ زَيْدِ إِبْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ عُمَرِ. He says, مَا ذَكَرَ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا بَكَى وَلَا مَرَّ عَلَى رَبْعِهِمْ إِلَّا غَمَّضَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, whenever he mentioned the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his eyes became moist and tears trickled down his face. There was a sister from South Africa visiting Medina Munawwara, standing at the Rauza Mubarak. She called me. I'm in Medina, I read a lot about it, but I'm not feeling emotional. When was I supposed to cry? When was I supposed to cry? I said, my sister, obviously I needed to give her hope and courage at the same time. It's not something that's going to happen there. If the heart is connected, you will tear from here. And if the heart is not connected, I'm afraid you will stand at the blessed grave and there would be no tears. لَمْ يَكُنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ بِالطَّوِيلِ الْمُمَغَّطِ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ الْمُتَرَدِّدِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْجَعْدِ الْقَتِدِ وَلَا بِالسَّبِتِ وَكَانَ جَعْدًا رَجِلًا. The narrator says, the Nabi of Allah was not tall and lanky, nor was he short and timid, but he was of moderate height. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have straight hair only, nor did he have totally curled hair, but it was straight with a tinge of curl in it. His face was not round, وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِهِ تَدْوِيرٌ. There was a roundish flavor to it. It was not a totally round face. أَصْدَقُ النَّاسِ لَهْجَةً. The Prophet ﷺ was the most truthful in his speech. Ajwadun nasi sadra. He was the most generous by nature. Alyanuhum arika. He was the most soft by nature. Man ra'ahu habahu. Wa man khalatahu ahabbahu. If you looked at him, immediately you were moved by his awe. You were inspired by him. If you came any closer to him, you were mesmerized by his character. By Allah, I haven't seen before him nor after him a man like him. Wallah, a man like Nabi alayhi salam, and my heart cannot cry. We yearning of so much, and that's what I said in my opening comments, that our heart has become dead. And a dead phone, it's not panicking, a dead battery causes more panic. I was in Calgary in Canada a few months ago. So as I entered the brother's house, he got the assalamu alaikum marhaba, my Wi-Fi code is. So I said, brother, what's this all about? He says, no Sheikh, you know what, people walk in, they barely greet me, and the first thing is, what's the Wi-Fi code? So I made peace with this, and I said, well, just put that on. That has become the focus. Just today I was listening on a radio program, that there is a game that has been launched, which hasn't yet hit our shores, but Allah forbid, Blue Whale, which is actually inciting and provoking youngsters to commit suicide. It's provoking and inciting youth to commit suicide. We are living in an era of digital addiction. Digital addiction. There's nobody spared. And the youth of today just wouldn't understand the catastrophic implications of something that has taken over their lives. So what was the condition of Abdullah ibn Umar whenever he heard the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, illa baka. وَلَا مَرَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِعِهِمْ إِلَّا غَمَّذَ عَيْنَيْهِ. And whenever he passed by the house, he just dropped his gaze and he just walked along. He just walked along. Nafi' makes mention of a narration. أَنَّ عَبْدَ ibn Umar رضي الله عنه كانت له جارية. Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه had a slave girl. فَلَمَّ اشْتَدَّ عَجَبُهُ بِهَا. It was totally permissible. It was totally lawful. It was in keeping with the Islamic rulings and jurisprudence. his love for her grew intense and she was legit and permissible. But he just realized that something else is occupying my heart, which is becoming a hurdle in my relation with my Allah. Permissible. Leave alone us who have 1,000 impermissible things that have latched onto our heart, that have become obstacles in our relation with our Creator. Somebody asked Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali that how is it in the month of Ramadan when the devils are shackled that I still commit sin? He gave a simple analogy. He said, you're off the fan, it doesn't stop immediately. Depending on the intensity, it still keeps on circling for a period of time. If it was very slow, it's going to stop quickly. But if it is going swift and fast, it's going to take a period of time. That a whole year of aggressive sin continuing, even when you put the pause button on, the fan still spins. And I'm afraid for many of us, it spins, and by the time it's about to stop, we put the switch on again. By the time it's just getting into the last 10 days of Ramadan, and we're kind of settling, and now we are weaning ourselves off, and we're detaching, and we're despising, and we're saying it's repugnant, and it's unpleasant, and it's evil, just then it's time to put the switch on again, and then we revert to our practices. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu had the slave girl. فَلَمَّا اشْتَدَّ عَجَبُهُ بِهَا. When his love for her became very intense, and as I mentioned, this was an amazing salient feature in his life. أعتقها. He liberated her. And وَزَوَّجَهَا مَوْلَى لَهُ. Look at the beauty of Sahaba. He then wedded her to his freed slave. My narrow-mindedness is, if I can't have the good, nobody else must have it. If I can't have it, I'll make, my first effort is, you know, it's not a good analogy, but you see these people who are passionate supporters of teams. You see them supporting a particular team to win. Then they support and rally together for another team to lose. I mean, I don't know, I'm not into it, but these are the kind of things you hear. So my priority is a team must win. In Arabic, we say this, you know what, bila tashbih. Bila tashbih means without analyzing it precisely, but taqrib ila al-faham, just to draw the matter closer for understanding. So our nature is such that if I can't have the good, nobody else must have the good. This woman was of exceptional beauty. She was totally permissible. She was the slave girl of Abdullah ibn Umar. He had a relationship with her, which was in keeping with the commandments of Allah. But he realized that my attachment became too much to something material. My attachment became too much. And it is infringing and encroaching on my relation with my Allah. So then he said, listen, I've liberated you. And then he wedded her to his slave, one of his freed slaves. Now, Sayyidina Umar, okay, let me just mention this narration and then I'll tell you about his generosity, how he used to liberate slaves. He then wedded her to his freed slave, Nafi', who was the distinguished freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. And this is my pain, my brother. This is my pain. Our knowledge on Islam and the seerah of the Sahaba is minimal, if not zero. We know so little about the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Mu'atta of Imam Malik, which is a rich compilation of hadith, is replete with the narrations of Abdullah ibn Umar, which academically form silsilatul dhahab, the golden chain. So what is the golden chain? An Malik, an Nafi', an Ibn Umar. An Malik, an Nafi', an Ibn Umar. An Malik, Imam Malik narrates from Nafi', who was the freed slave. Abdullah ibn Umar had many slaves. In Mariful Quran, under this ayah in Surah Muhammad, فَإِمَّا مَنَّمْ بَعْدُ وَإِمَّا فِدَاءً فَإِمَّا مَنَّمْ بَعْدُ وَإِمَّا فِدَاءً حَتَّى تَضَعَ الْحَرْبُ أَوْزَارَهَا. That when you have the captive in your hand, either you can liberate or you can take ransom. إِمَّا تَمُنُّونَ مَنَّا أَوْ تَفْدُونَ فِدَاءً. Either you take ransom and liberate, or you just liberate as a good gesture and show the character of Islam, exhibit the beauty of Islam. Under this ayah in Mariful Quran, it is written, Aisha radiallahu anha liberated 69 slaves. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu liberated 70 slaves. Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu liberated 100 slaves. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu liberated 1,000 slaves. Dhul Kila Himyari radiallahu anhu liberated 8,000 slaves. Abdurrahman ibn Auf liberated 30,000 slaves. And when he was about to die, أوصى بمال كثير. لكل واحد بقي من أمهات المؤمنين. He said, take this chunks of wealth and go give it to Aisha radiallahu anha. Take this wealth and go give it to Maymuna radiallahu anha. And as the wealth filtered into the respective consorts of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aisha radiallahu anha teared. How many of us have wealth like that? How many of us have generosity like that? And then he said, take out my wealth and analyze it. And give 400 gold coins to every man who participated in Badr. He stood with my Nabi when nobody stood. وَكَانَ عَدَدُهُمْ مِئَةٌ. Ask when it comes to recognize, Allah will reward you in Jannat. That's my dua for you. That's my dua for you. Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Let's be real, my brother. Let's be real. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he didn't know that these people, Allah's Nabi said, Bukhari Sharif, second volume, إِنَّ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ عَمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Allah said to the participants of Badr, I have forgiven you, even what you've done and what you probably will do, all is wiped out. But what did Abdurrahman ibn Auf say? Those people mobilized with the Nabi of Allah in the early hours. The narration of Hatim ibn Abi Balta'a, it's in Bukhari, it's in Abu Dawud, it's in the Quran, in the 28 juz, in Surah Mumtahina, that he had divulged some information to the disbelievers. The Nabi of Allah was informed through divine revelation. He sent the Sahaba apprehend him. This is one of our people that's leaking our own information. And then he told Ali, gallop your horse. Miqdad, gallop your horse. There is a woman at Rawdat al-Khakh. She's carrying this information. Sahaba intensified. They came to Rawdat al-Khakh. They apprehended the woman. They said, you're carrying some valuable information. She refuted it. They said, the Nabi of Allah has told us and he will never speak a lie. And then she gives from a plait over here, she takes it out. فَأَخْرَجَتْهُ. She gives it, and in that it was written, from Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a to the people of Makkah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is planning to attack and invade Makkah. Just a word of advice, make the necessary precautions. When this news was met in Medina, there was panic, alarm bells were ringing, one of our men has launched us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his wisdom, how he dealt with things. Hatim ibn Abi Balta'a was brought forward. Some said, O Nabi of Allah, I think the man hasn't been sincere. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we cannot forget he's a participant of Badr. We need to view his mistake in light of his rich contribution. Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. What a deen, what a religion. Let's not put that on hold. Sayyidina Umar was excited. O Nabi of Allah, issue the command and I'll deal with it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, respectfully back off. This man was a Badri. He was a Badri. I have forgiven him. I have. And then he said, O Nabi of Allah, ma kafartu wa lartadattu. Listen, the truth is, O Nabi, I haven't given up my Islam. I just got overpowered by my family. Because I'm not a resident of Makkah. The other people, the other Sahaba, companions, they have family there to protect their family. I came from outside Makkah and I based myself in Makkah. My wife and kids are there. And I didn't have any social structure to insulate my family. I knew for a fact you are the Prophet of Allah, so your dream and your plan will reach fruition. My leaking of the information cannot override the plan of Allah. I was just overpowered by the care of my family and moved by their concern. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Amma hadha faqad sadaq. The man has spoken the truth and I have pardoned him. And then Allah revealed the verse to my brother, I say to you and my sister and to one and all, give up haram and Allah will replace that passion of yours through halal means. What you aspiring for through an unlawful, if you abstain from the forbidden, Allah will grant you that or greater in a halal way. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَاللَّهُ قَدِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةً. It's highly possible that Allah will pave the way and replace the enmity of your enemies or enmity of those people with whom you have hostility on the grounds of religion, but they are family members. Allah will replace it by affection. Just give it time. Don't divulge. The very person for whom you concern, persevere and Allah will bring your relative to you as a believer. And under this ayah is written extensively that man taraka shay'an lillahi awwadahu Allahu khayran minha. Whoever abandons something unlawful sincerely for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will replace it with something more sweet in a matter of time. Now you just got to wait and see. You just got to wait. I keep on saying to myself and I say to my students that listen, if your parents have made dua, that won't be rejected. Now when it's going to turn and make fruition, that's in the plan of Allah. That's in the knowledge of Allah. I can't guarantee you the time, but I can guarantee you the inevitable fruition of those supplications. That's an absolute reality. So what did Abdurrahman ibn Auf do? 400 gold coins to every veteran of Badr. And how many were they? They were 100 in number. And when the wealth came to Aisha radiallahu anha, she cried and she said, give Abdurrahman ibn Auf my salams and may his soul depart peacefully. Imagine Aisha making dua for you. Imagine Aisha radiallahu anha making dua for you, my brother. Imagine that the brain freezes. The brain freezes. I often say, a woman is giving birth and you say, no, the doctor is there, the gynecologist is there, the surgeons are there, the pediatrician is there. And when Maryam was giving birth, Allah said, we were overseeing the birth. We were overseeing the birth. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًّا فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي. Maryam, don't panic, you're not alone. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ. We're taking care. No, we got a private room. We got priority. We got an exclusive clinic. We got the gynae on call. We've managed to mobilize. We've got a whole panel of doctors seeing it here. There's complications, emergencies, Caesar and the rest of it. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. And Maryam, just shake the branch above you. The dates will fall. In English, they say, the Almighty gives you the nuts, but He doesn't crack it for you. Allah said, shake the branch and the dates will fall. فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. We will oversee it. And Aisha radiallahu anha makes dua for Abdurrahman. And she says, سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا إِسَّ السَّبِيلِ. Tell him I'm making dua. When he dies, the first thing that will happen is Allah will quench his thirst from the springs of Jannah. وَيُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِأَنِيَةٍ مِّن فِضَّةٍ. Just the other day I mentioned this and I said it, quoted it on social media and I said it to some friends. I find this the most amazing moment for myself, and I share it now because I have a thought here, and that's the richness of the Quran. Allah is talking to us, are we listening? This hasn't happened to me once or twice or a dozen times or two dozen, but it has happened more than I can possibly count. Every one of us, without exception, experiences emotions in the day. We go through ups and downs, we go through, topsy-turvy, positive, negative, distraught, excited. And we need somebody to guide us. And this has happened too many times where I'm down, or I'm excited, or there's a twinge of pride, or there's a sense of depression. And you just come for salah, and you would listen into the salah, and the imam selects a ruku. It's like Allah is talking to you directly and answering every emotion of yours in every rakat. Allah is talking to you. Have you taken the time to understand the message? No, you haven't, my brother. And I say you as in us. Allah is talking. You're confused, you're distraught, you don't know what to do. It's all overwhelmed you. You came for salah, if ever we came. By Allah, this has happened to me more than I can count. This is not a coincidence. And I'm like, okay, Allah, I'm getting it. And that's the beauty of the Quran. In its universal nature, it's so apt per situation as if it was exclusively revealed for that one scenario. That's the universal text and the universal nature of the Quran. May Allah connect us to the Quran. لو أن قلوبنا طهرت ما شبعنا من كلام ربنا. If only our hearts were cleansed. You know, the youngster asked his dad, Dad, in the previous times, how did you people live? No phone, no WhatsApp, no social media, no Instagram, no Snapchat, chat, no this, no that. How did you live? He said, very easy, my son. Like how you live with no salah, no Quran, no dua, no worship, no ibadat, no obedience, no generosity, no sadaqah. How you living, that's how we lived. How you living without it, it's beyond me, and I'm dealing with it locally, abroad. I cannot, for the sake of me, or probably from the generation to which we belong, how youth can spend extended hours on a device and be non-productive for days on end and feel nothing about it. It's like one day went, 2 days, aren't you itching? My family always tells me, you know, Abu, you come for holiday also after a little while, you need to give a bayan. You know, like, have a holiday. And okay, I understand I need to have a holiday. But I don't know, probably that's the time we came from. Even if it's a holiday, flavor it with something spiritual. Make it meaningful. You could be going for a holiday. It doesn't mean you can't read Quran on the flight. But today we'll be going for Hajj and we'll be seeing movies on the flight. Just look at the reverse scenario. You're going for Hajj, you're going for Hajj, you're going for Umrah. And on the way, here the teachings of a believer is you could be going for a holiday. What stops you? What stops you? I was listening to one brother was mentioning an incident. He said that this woman was narrating the incident of a husband, that whenever we would board a flight, he would recite Quran. And extended, he would recite Quran. And one day we were on a flight, and just we were about to touch down, I seen him inclining to one side. And then I looked at him and I thought probably he's tired and he's just dozing off. That's typical when the flight noses down. That's the time, you know what, your jet lag hits you. And you just start feeling the fatigue and the tiredness. And I felt him, and lo and behold, the man was cold and he lost his life while reading Quran in the air. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Anyway, coming back to the point there, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu wedded the slave girl to his slave. He was so attached to the slave girl, but he obviously closed the chapter for the pleasure of Allah. Nafi', the distinguished student and freed slave. He was so learned that many people came and offered great amount of money to Abdullah ibn Umar. And they said, sell us the slave of yours. We'll give you, when the average price was 2,000 and 3,000, they offered 30,000. So Abdullah ibn Umar called Nafi and he said, listen, people are making different temptations to me and they're dangling this candy before me. Before I succumb to the monetary temptations, rather I liberate you so that I don't give in because the temptations are too strong. So let me just liberate you and then I don't sell you for any value. So he liberated the slave, Nafi'. And after a little while, Nafi' said, oh Abdullah, you have liberated me, but I am happier of being a slave in your hands and your house than being a king elsewhere. I mean, what a life these people lived. What a life these people lived. That people felt so comfortable in their presence, so warm in their presence, that I will opt for slavery in your proximity than a freed life elsewhere. That was a meaningful life. Really, brothers, we nourish our body daily, and we neglect it occasionally. Now and then, you're on a flight, you're traveling 3 days, I haven't eaten properly, I haven't slept properly, I didn't have a shower, I need to have a good shower. You know what, my body is talking to me, it's giving me messages, you need to relax, you need to take it easy. We nourish it daily, neglect it occasionally, and immediately it responds to us. Our soul, we neglect it daily, nourish it occasionally. How can we expect to be contented and peaceful? This is gone dormant, it's gone inactive, it has died a death, it has died a slow death, finish. Now we try and revive it, and of course you can revive it, I'm not saying you cannot, but we need to be at it, because the real human is the soul. The real human is the soul. Nafi' says, فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ ابْنِ عُمَرْ يَأْخُذُ ذَلِكَ الصَّبِئِ فَيُقَبِّلُهُ وَيَقُولُ وَاهًا لِرِيحِ فُلَانَ يعني الجارية التي أعطت. Nafi' says, I used to see Abdullah ibn Umar, and that's the time I realized how much he loved this girl, that when he wedded her to his freed slave, she gave birth. Nafi' says, Abdullah ibn Umar would go hold that child, embrace him, and say, from you I get the fragrance of your mom, who was my slave girl once. And her thoughts are still with me, but I have closed this chapter and I will never go back on it. I will never go back on it. Imagine this is giving up halal. We fantasize in the neighbor to die so I can marry his widow. That's where my thoughts are running. You know? Shame, and yeah, but you know, if he goes, we'll take good care of her. I am planning the death of someone else. And that's where my thoughts are running. And this is something legit and permissible in his lap. And he says, no, but it's taken up my heart too much. It's taken up my heart. How many of us, our golfing, our cycling, our gymming, has reached a level of obsession? It has reached a level of obsession. Now you're having endorphins and you're having, you know, that comfort and that peace. It's overtaken your rhythm. It's good within moderation. If we told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Zainab radiallahu anha performing salah and holding on, nocturnal, optional prayer. He said, what's this? He said, no, she's exerting herself. He said, no. Tell her to move away and go sleep. Perform your nafal prayer, but perform it in moderation. Let it not encroach on your faith. Let it not encroach on your life. Let it not encroach on your health. If that's the discipline, recently I was involved in a case where there was some tournament taking place or some cycling event taking place, and there was an altercation between the husband and wife regarding the event. But I told you I'm going, but I told you no. But I said I am, but I told you to keep it ready. And in that talaq was issued, only to realize after that the whole thing was cancelled. Right? And I was in Cape Town, and I was there for a program, so I was even teasing my friends. I told you come for my program. They're like, no, we'll come after the cycling. The whole thing was cancelled in 4 decades, unheard of. And the guy phoned me, he said, because of this talaq happened, only to know in the end I couldn't ride. Oh, that is life. That's how fickle it is. That's how insignificant it is. That you make the blunder, you make the mistake, and in the end you sit with a khasira dunya wal akhirah. You lose on both fronts. You lose your relation, and you lose whatever you were, you know, pursuing. Nafi'a says that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu's nature was such, إِذَا أَعْجَبَهُ شَيْءٌ مِّن مَالِهِ, whenever he loved anything from his wealth, قَرَّبَهُ لِرَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, then he would give it in the path of Allah. This was his practice. As soon as he became attached to anything material, then you must know this is going to be leaving his ownership soon. Now look at this here. وَكَانَ رَقِيقُهُ قَدْ عَرَفُ ذَلِكَ. His slaves were manipulative, and they had realized this. They said, our master, if you impress him and you occupy his heart, then you actually in a subtle way earning your own freedom. So what they used to do, فَرُبَمَا شَمَّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ فَلَّزِمَ الْمَسْجِدِ. So what they used to do, they used to act pious. And they used to start coming to the masjid and giving off a notion of worship and piety. Abdullah ibn Umar used to say, oh man, look at this slave of mine, subhanallah, it brings so much joy to me, it brings so much joy to see you in prayer. I have liberated you for the pleasure of Allah. So his companions came to him and said, oh Abdullah, they put in wool over your eyes, they hoodwink in you. فَيَقُولُ لَهُ أَصْحَابُهُ وَاللَّهِ مَا بِهِمْ إِلَّا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ. They are deceiving you. What did Abdullah ibn Umar say? مَنْ خَدَعَنَا بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنْ خَدَعْنَا لَهُ. مَنْ خَدَعَنَا بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. If somebody deceives me through the garb of apparent piety, I succumb to his deception. Then he must deal with it between him and his Allah. From my side, if you showed me you pious, I'm going to trust you and liberate you. Now it's you and your Allah. What did Abdullah ibn Umar say? If the man is acting pious to me, I surrender to the deception. I surrender. مَنْ خَدَعَنَا بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنْ خَدَعْنَا لَهُ. Nafi' says, we were once riding. I was with him and he was on his conveyance. لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Umar, he was riding عَلَى نَجِيبٍ لَهُ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ. النَّجِيبُ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ الْقَوِيُّ الْخَفِيفِ. Najib was a swift camel, an expensive camel, an exclusive camel. He was riding and he was enjoying the ride. You know, sometimes you buy a new phone and you're feeling nice about it. You're waiting for people to phone. It's a thrill, man. You're driving that car. She runs like a dream. The first time I sat in first class in a private suite having a shower, I didn't want the flight to end. Right? And by the way, the cabin crew's name was Angel. I said, Ya Allah, this is not... It's coincidental, but that's a reality. Hafiz Imran wasn't anything planned, you know what I mean? 14 hours shower, I said, I don't want this thing to touch down. I didn't want it to touch down. But then it becomes a norm. It's just to occupy your seat and your suite and that's it. That's the nature of the world. The first time it gives you a bit of a thrill and an excitement and a kick, and then it's over. He said, I'm seeing the man riding. Listen, my brother, listen, may Allah give it to me, may Allah give it to you. I was visiting one country, a brother had invited me for a talk, and then after I wrapped up my talk, then I was coming out, and in his library, I sat there, and my gaze fell on a kitab, and in that was written, in Arabic, on the life of Abdullah ibn Umar. And I just browsed through it. And I guess every person looks with a different eye. I look with the eye of lectures, because that's my field. And I looked at this and I said, wow, 10 minutes I was just browsing through. I didn't even have the time to peruse. So I said to him, can I take this here? I'm asking you, this is something I love and so dear. It made me cry in 10 minutes. I will convey it to the ummah and the reward is yours. He said, go for it. And that's how I share it with you. That's the life of these people. That is the life of these people. It's so rich, it's so meaningful. So he said, I'm seeing Abdullah ibn Umar riding this camel. وَقَدْ أَعْجَبَتْهُ. And he's enjoying the ride. He's feeling nice about it. You know, a youngster is driving, he's got good road holding. She's moving. Look at her bend. She can do this. Advanced driving. Everything is going good. Everything is going good. And just suddenly he halted. And I paused. And then he dismounted. And he said, يَا نَافِ حُطَّ عَنْهَا الرَّحْلَةِ. Now if you just take out the saddle, فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لِشَيْءٍ يُرِيدُهُ. Abruptly ended the ride that was swift. He was in control. The road holding was nice. The feel was good. The thrill was awesome. The excitement, the adrenaline, everything was happening good. Our youngsters want to go drags and see how it all happens. So I dismounted. And then he said, take off the saddle. I took it out. He said, look at this luggage that I have on this camel. Just value it. So I said, it's X amount of dirhams. He said, can I get a basic camel with this money? So I said, yeah, if we sell these goods, you're going to get it like an entry level basic, just, you know what, nothing fancy. So he said, okay, that's it. I became too impressed with this camel. فَجَلَّلَهَا وَقَلَّدَهَا وَجَعَلَهَا فِي بُدْنِهِ. He put a blanket, he put it one side, he said, slaughter it and give it to Allah. I just enjoyed it too much. It took control over my heart. I enjoyed it. I'm driving in my car and I'm having a good drive and a good feel. And somebody comes. Huh? Then what do you say? وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابٌ قَرِيبٌ. If you know Arabic, you'll know what I'm saying. That was the message Salih said to his people. Don't touch my camel with an evil eye. You will be seized with punishment. That's what I would say to someone. Imagine riding something. It's giving him a lawful thrill. He's feeling cool about it. There's nothing else about it. I find it below my dignity when I give my car a wash to take my parents in that car. No, man. You know, my dad's shoes and his feet and my mom. You know what? Probably she's going to leave some of her napkins and the tissues on the side. And I don't know if it's going to be all... What? Woe be to that world of yours. Woe be to it. If that world and that wealth and that advancement and that growth and that material amassments of this dunya didn't allow you to bring comfort and joy to your parents, then what did you achieve, my brother? When Zayd radiallahu anhu went and plucked his dates, so somebody told him, why did you pluck it now, man? Wait for the season to ripe and then you can pluck it. Then you'll take full value. He said, no, my mother asked me now, so I can take full dua. I don't need to take full value. And you tell your mom, no, this is my new container that I can't open this here. I got a customer here, so let me sort this out. When my next shipment comes, no, my brother, I've lost my values, I've lost my priorities, I've lost my plot, I've lost it all. If I've come here and I've made the wealth, but I can't fly back to see my mother and spend time with my mother and be with my mother, then what have I achieved? I met a brother there at the rehab. He hugged me and he cried. He said, you know, Allah forgive me for my wrong, but I'm so grateful to Allah that just when my mom took ill, I was clean at that period. I was not high. I was not drugged. And Allah made it possible that I could be at the deathbed of my mother. And I seen her leaving this world. These are moments that live with me and give me comfort. And I think, imagine I was high and I was drugged and I couldn't see my mother die. And remember that tale of Muhammad bin Harun. Muhammad bin Harun, Malik bin Dinar said, I was making tawaf. And as I'm making tawaf, I looked at the sheer numbers and volumes of people. أَعْجَبَتْنِي كَثْرَةُ الْمُعْتَمِرِينَ وَالْحُجَّاجِ. I said, look at these volumes. مَنِ الْمَقْبُولُ مِنْهُمْ فَأُهَنِّئُهُ وَمَنِ الْمَرْدُودُ مِنْهُمْ فَأُعَزِّيهِ. The eye of the pious was different. He said, Allah, so many people here. I wonder how many people's hajj is accepted and how many people's is rejected. Me, I'm looking. I said, but this guy doesn't earn so much. How he came? Oh, look at you, who this guy, yo. Okay, it's Allah's house. We don't know. Allah can forgive anyone. Inshallah, we it's all in Allah's hands. We don't judge. This is all in Allah's hands. We don't say anything, you know. No, manil maqbulu minhum. I was making tawaf with my wife and we were going around the Kaaba and the bodies were being brought. And I said to her, this is the moment in your life where you envy a person you don't know. You don't know if it's a male or a female. You don't know if it's a child or an adult. They don't know you. You don't know them. But as that funeral comes and you just see 1 million people who will be performing salah, and you say, brother, I'm green with envy for you, whoever you are. Otherwise, you can't reconcile envy in a man you don't know. You can't reconcile. And then I went to sleep that night, Malik bin Dinar said. And then in a dream it's told to me, Yas'alu Malikun. Malik is curious to know who has been accepted and who's been rejected. قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ الصَّغِيرَ وَالْكَبِيرَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى إِلَّا رَجُلًا وَاحِدٍ. I have forgiven them all, but just one exception, I haven't forgiven him. And these were the pious, they would direct the weakness to themselves. I often say Sahaba were such that they would deflect praise and embrace criticism. We deflect criticism and embrace praise. Sahaba, when praise came, they deflected it. They deflected it. No, let it go somewhere else. And when criticism came, they embraced it. They embraced it. So he said, probably that exception is me. So he said, whole day I got up. I was in panic and anxiety. Allah, is my hajj rejected? I went to sleep the next day. And the next day, I'm told in the dream, O Malik, you can sigh with relief. It's not your hajj that's denied and rejected. But yes, it's a man by the name of Muhammad bin Harun from the Balkh tribe in Khurasan. Khurasan is in Iran, present day geographically. So in the morning I got up, I sighed with relief that I'm not the person who wasn't pardoned, but at the same time I was sad for whoever this man was. And I started my search. Is there any Khurasan tribe? Yes. Is there a Balkh tribe? Correct. Can you people lead me to a man with this profile? Of course, sure. That's a sage of the age, one of the noblest individuals of time. Anyway, I finally meet up with him. I get that the man is in prayer. I pause there. He's pleasantly surprised by my presence, Malik bin Dinar. He says, Malik, what brings you here? Malik bin Dinar says, I'm dumb, I'm mute, I'm silent. What do I tell the man? It's never good to be the bearer of bad news. It's never good to be the bearer of bad news. He says, tell me. So he says, I muster the courage and I whisper. I said, brother, please don't take offense to me, and I'm not pontifying myself. It's not holier than thou. But the brutal truth is, I had a dream, and in a dream I was told that everybody has been accepted, but one has been rejected. And for a moment I thought probably I'm the exception, only to subsequently discover that it wasn't me, but sadly it was you. He breaks down into tears and he cries and cries. Malik embraces him. He says, Malik, let me tell you, what you've seen has been happening for the last 40 years consecutively. Okay, and he takes his curiosity to another level. And why? He said, I was a young man. May Allah take my words to every youth across the globe. My heart cries. My heart bleeds. I talk in every language I can talk. I talk with my mind, my heart, my body and my emotions. How many mothers have cried, please speak to my son. Please speak to my brother. Please speak to my neighbor. Please let some sanity come in. Wallah, when Allah blocks the heart, then it reaches such a level. وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. Allah says, when darkness and deprivation hits a heart, it reaches such a point that even if the dead stand up and say, listen, my brother, I died, I promise you the punishment in the grave is a reality. And the malaika descend in their numbers and their scores and their multitudes, and they address the person individually. These people will turn around and say, لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ. No, someone has cast a spell on my eyes and they've bewitched us. These are not malaika, they look like angels. And when Allah illuminates a heart, may Allah let our hearts shine with iman. Deprivation reaches a level that the dead man stands up, it doesn't make a difference to your life. And when Allah brightens the heart, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Allah says, I then envelope his heart with such brightness that he gives off guidance even in the mall and the marketplace, even in the airport and even in the commercial and the corporate environment. His life is so guided that wherever he walks, people look at him and they draw changes in their lives. Yamshi bihi fin nas. You will see what the Mufassirin write under Yamshi bihi. He doesn't stagnate with that light. He walks around, and that's a believer. He delivers that guidance. He exhibits it. His walking is a guidance. So it was the month of Shaban. I had spent a night with a friend of mine, and I was high. These were the words. I was high. فَشَرِبْتُ خَمْرًا. I drank alcohol, and I was having a party of my life. I came home, and my mom was sitting by the fire, and she was busy preparing food. So I came to her, and in a fit of rage and my stupidity, and because I was intoxicated, I said to my mom, my mom reproached me, and she chastised me. She said, my son, يُسْبِحُ النَّاسُ سُوَّامًا. هذا آخر ليلة من شعبان أول يوم من رمضان يصبح الناس صواما وتصبح سكرانا أما تستحي من الله. Oh my son, it's the last night of Shaban. It's the first night of Ramadan. Even the criminals are making tawbah. Oh my son, don't you think it's time for you to also now repent? In a fit of rage, in my stupidity and my insanity, I couldn't manage myself. I pushed my mother and dropped her, least realizing she fell in the fire and she died. But I was high, so I knew nothing. The brother at the rehab was telling me, he said, many of these brothers, when they come, and then we wean them off, and then they come out clean, and when reality kicks in, some of them cry for 5 days consecutively for what they've done to their mothers. For 5 days consecutively. A brother phoned me one day, he says, can I talk to you? I said, talk to me, my brother. Then he's silent. He said, I said, talk, brother, are you there? He said, I would like to remain anonymous. I said, please, my brother, by all means, I don't need your identity, I don't want you to divulge any information to me. Keep it as secret and as confidential as you are comfortable. And if you're happy, talk, if not, you are free to. There's an extended pause, and then he says, I committed zina. Okay? I gave him hope, I gave him encouragement, I told him what to make tawbah. He said, no, but it gets worse. I committed zina on the night of 15th of Shaban. I said, brother, what happened? He said, unfortunately, I was told to come to the masjid to listen to a talk, and one thing led to another, evil company, and before I realized myself, popped a pill, I was high, and then I was sitting in the lap of a woman, and my whole night went in zina. So Malik then comforted him, and Malik said, okay, well, what can I do? There's very little I can tell you, but it's sad to know that this is what you've done. He said, 40 years of my life passed like this. Malik says, I left him, but I didn't give him much hope, because I was myself appalled. I was appalled by the gruesome nature of his offense. That night I retired to bed, and in a dream I was told, oh Malik, لا تقنّت الناس من رحمة الله. Oh Malik, don't make people despair of the mercy of Allah. Oh Malik, don't make people despair. And that is it, my brother. That's the beauty of our deen. There's hope for you, there's hope for me, there's hope for everyone. But yes, there are two types of hope. There is the objective hope, where you obey or you endeavor to obey, and you hope in Allah. And then the other is you succumb to your wrong and you do the wrong, and watamanna ala Allahil amani. Watamanna ala Allahil amani. You invest hopes in Allah. That is not going to get you anywhere. So just tell him to persevere and Allah will forgive him. And then Malik says, he goes back to the man and he makes dua. Allahumma farij al-hammi kashif al-ghammi mujiba da'wati al-muttarrid. Oh Allah, you are the one that responds to the cry of the desperate. I ask you to forgive me. And Malik says, in the end, Allah forgave the man. But what was the crime of the person? I often say, my brother, kindness to your parents can compensate for many wrongs. But disobedience to parents is such an offense that no virtue can compensate for it. Kindness to your parents can compensate. There's too many wrongs that can be atoned for. Can be atoned for by kindness to our parents. Anyway, coming back to the incident of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So Nafi'a says, he got off his camel, he slaughtered it, and he gave it in the path of Allah. وَرُبَمَا تَصَدَّقَ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ الْوَاحِدِ بِثَلَاثِينَ أَلْفًا. Many a times, in one gathering, he would distribute 30,000 dirhams. Maymun ibn Mahran says, I was sitting, and I said, أَتَتْ ابن عمر 22,000 dinars came to him, gold coins. You know, you say, brother, I gave you a gift. Yeah, that's not rand, that's a pound, brother. Yeah, yeah, okay. Now it's just from my side. You know, whatever, inshallah, Allah accept your hajj. Yeah, yeah. I just thought, it's not a 50 rand, it's a 50 pound. Okay. Alhamdulillah. I've seen some people who can give thousands with my own eyes, and they make no bones about it. And some people will give you pittance and they rave about it for the rest of their life. I know of a brother whom Allah has blessed with such an amazing quality, and I keep on telling him how amazing. He's got an amazing generosity. He spends on one and all. But there's something unique to him which I see in him exclusive. He makes a commitment, he makes a pledge, he makes a promise, just out of his goodwill to give. And the day he gives it to the individual or the organization, he doubles the amount. So I asked him, but why you do it? He says, no, I brought happiness by giving it to him. And then by surprising, I brought more happiness to him. I said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So I gave the man good news. Listen, I'm going to give you an X amount, inshallah. And then I said, he already makes peace with this. He calculates, he knows what he wants to. And then just to surprise the man more, just to surprise him. Wallah, there are people in the ummah. Allah has blessed. May Allah make us amongst those people. Huh? The young boy said, my father told me, there are two types of people, oh my son. They are the givers and the takers. The takers eat better. The givers sleep better. Oh my son, there are two types of people. They are the givers and the takers. The takers, they eat better. They collect a lot. But the givers, they sleep better. They sleep a peaceful sleep. They sleep a peaceful sleep. May Allah make us amongst those people. So Abdullah ibn Umar had this amazing generosity. Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal says that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu became ill. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu became ill. And he was nazala bil Juhfa. He was at a place called Juhfa. وَهُوَ شَاكٌ أَيْ مَرِيضٌ فَقَالْ إِنِّي لَأَشْتَهِي حَيْطَانًا. He said, I'm feeling for fish. I'm feeling for fish. Now you know, we all get the strange inclinations at the most odd time. You fly and you're in the hotel and it's late hours, and then you're feeling for one type of pickle and achar or something. And now like, no, but why now? At home you don't look at it, but now you're traveling and you know, and sometimes it costs you an arm and a leg just to appease this crave of yours. And we do it because that's how we feed our ego. You fly in and you want it at that time, and that's our nature. We need to have it. So he became ill and he was desiring fish. فَالْتَمَسُوا لَهُ. So they started looking for fish. فَلَمْ يَجِدُوا إِلَّا حُوتًا. After looking, they finally find one fish. Just one. So his wife, Safiya bint Abi Ubaid, she takes the fish, she marinates the fish with great pride and diligence, she prepares it. Just when she prepares the fish, she roasts it, she cooks it, she makes it, she decorates it, she garnishes it, she presents the platter of fish to Abdullah ibn Umar, who's sick, who's desiring it. أَتَاهُ مِسْكِينٌ وَقَفَ عَلَيْهِ. A beggar comes and he stands right in front of him. Now you know, you bought your burger, you eat it, the juice is, the sauce is dripping, and then ILO and Nazar Karwa. Now you're eating, right? It's a masjid. I don't want to mimic the vulgarity that comes out at that time. Not that I want to do it outside, right? But now you're about to bite that burger. Right? It happens to the best of us. And that frustration is like, you know, he's looking me straight in my eye. He's looking me straight in my eye. And I mean, I can say something that I've seen in my mom and my wife, and may Allah reward them both. That when we sit down to eat, and often the kid wants something, and they are women in their selfless nature, they give it. Me, I'll be honest, if they want the first bite of the chocolate, I can negotiate. But that last bite, don't ask me. You know that last bottle, that when that last part of the drink, hey, Abu, sorry, Ma, you want, you go. My boys are here, they'll know it's a reality. I mean, that's it. If you want the first sip, we're on board, you know what? But that last word, I'm sorry, it's Allah forgive me, that's my weakness. Right? Woman, mashallah, they would, you know, momati koryo kare. That's a mother. A mother is, she'll take out the muscle from her mouth and she'll give it. And our mothers, may Allah reward them. May Allah reward them. That's what they do, and that's how they go out of their way. Abdullah ibn Umar sits down. The platter is brought. A beggar stands. He gives the platter of fish to that beggar. Understand, he's sick, he's tired, he's hungry, he's desiring fish. It took them time. They look, they search. Finally, they found that one particular fish. Just when he's about to eat it, here comes a beggar. So, فَقَالَ لَهُ أَهْلُهُ, the family said, أَنَّيْتَنَا أَتْعَبْتَنَا وَمَعَنَا زَادٌ نُعْطِيهِ. I mean, this is not real, Abdullah. We tired ourselves to finally get the fish, only to roast it and give it to you, and you happily pass it on. You know, he's a beggar, we'll give him a dirham, فَهُوَ أَنْفَعُ لَهُ وَقْضِ أَنْتَ شَهْوَتَكَ, and you eat what you really want to eat and satisfy your desire. He said, شَهْوَتِي مَا أُرِيد, my desire is to fill his hungry belly. My desire is to fill his hungry belly. Abu Bakr ibn Hafs says, كان ابن عمر لا يأكل إلا على خوانه يتيم. I cannot recall Abdullah ibn Umar eating a meal without an orphan sitting next to him. If he didn't get an orphan, he delays his meal. How's that, my brother? Ask yourself if an orphan ever ate in your house. And you don't have to talk of orphans in foreign lands. There are orphans in our neighborhood and our proximity. There are kids in our masjid and in our area who've lost their parents. Showing them love, of course they have a social structure, they have siblings, uncles. But that doesn't mean they are not orphans. All the virtues and the rewards and the fada'il and manaqib of an orphan is with them. Read Surah Nisa. In two pages Allah speaks in great detail about the rules pertaining to orphans. فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا وَبِدَارًا أَنْ يَكْبَرُوا وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًّا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ وَمَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Don't exploit, don't expropriate, don't abuse, don't embezzle the funds of an orphan. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُفْسِدَ مِنَ الْمُصْلِحِ. Allah knows whose intentions are noble and whose intentions are malicious and unpleasant and obnoxious. So be kind and be easy with an orphan. O Nabi of Allah, my heart is very hard. Sit with the orphan more and Allah will soften your heart. إِمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمُ وَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينَ. Ayyub ibn Abi Wa'il says, أتيت المدينة, I came to Medina, فأخبرني جار لابن عمر. So Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه's neighbor came to me and he said to me, you know what? Once, Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه received 4,000 dirhams from Muawiyah رضي الله عنه. 4,000 من قبل Muawiyah. و4,000 من قبل إنسان آخر. And 4,000 from someone else. وألفين من رجل آخر وقطيفة, and 2,000 from another person and a beautiful shawl. So in one night he received the gift of 10,000. You know, I often say this is our nature. When we tested repeatedly, then we ask Allah why. But when we favored repeatedly, we don't say why. Then we don't say why. This is the weakness of man. This is the feeble nature of man. When one test of another comes, وَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. But Allah, why me? Allah, why are you ditching me? Allah, why are you launching me? رَبِّي أَهَانًا. Allah, you've disgraced me. Why? Because Allah has restricted, limited his financial income. His economic muscle was put under a bit of pressure. So Allah says, he retorts and responds by saying, رَبِّي أَهَانًا. كَلَّا, nay, never, not at all. That has got nothing to do with me favoring you or otherwise. So anyway, he said 10,000 came and he got a beautiful shawl. And I was his neighbor and I was aware of this. And the next day, I see Abdullah ibn Umar coming to the marketplace. And he comes to buy fodder for his camel on one dirham, and that also on credit. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ أَتَى السُّوقُ يُرِيدُ عَلَفًا لِرَاحَتِهِ بِدِرْهَمٍ نَسِيئًا. So I looked at this and I couldn't reconcile. I said, how is this? The man got 10,000 last night and today he comes to buy fodder for his camel, and that also only one dirham, and that by credit. Like, why? فَأَتَيْتُ جَارِيَتَهُ. I came to his slave girl. I said, أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكِ شَيْئًا. I want to ask you a question. وَأُرِيدُ أَنْ تَصْدُقِينِي. I want you to speak the truth. So she said, yeah, no problem. أَلَيْسَ قَدْ أَتَتْ أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ 4,000 مِنْ قِبَلِ مُعَاوِيَةِ. Is it not that Abdullah ibn Umar received 4,000 from Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? Correct. Is it not that he received 4,000 last night from... Correct. So why does the man come and buy fodder for his camel with one dirham on credit? He said, مَا بَاتَ حَتَّى فَرَّقَهَا. He didn't go to bed till the last cent was spent. And in the process, he forgot that I needed to buy fodder for the camel. His own belly he didn't think of. He forgot about the food of the camel. So he didn't deprive the camel. After spending the last cent, he retired to bed. In the morning when he got up, he realized, oops, I didn't buy. These were people. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is walking. He comes to trash and refuse and garbage and he halts there. So people are like, Umar, this is giving off a stench. It's emitting a foul smell. It's offensive. فَكَأَنَّ أَصْحَابَهُ تَأَذَّوْ مِنْهَا كَأَنَّ أَصْحَابَهُ تَأَذَّوْ. So he said, Umar, why would you stop here? This is not a place to stop. He said, هَذِهِ دُنْيَاكُمْ أَلَّتِي تَحْرُسُونَ عَلَيْهَا. This is your world. This is your wealth. This is your amenities. What they say? The graveyard is a silent place with a loud message. It's a silent place with a... Just stand there. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ أَلْهَاكُمْ. We hear it daily. Again, are we listening to what Allah is saying? No, we're not listening. We're not listening. And it hasn't bothered us to try to listen. Alhaakum, it has made you heedless, oblivious and unmindful. At-takathur, the mutual crave of more. The only time this crave will die, hatta zurtumul maqabir, when you start visiting the graveyard. When you start visiting the graveyard. Lillahi yabqa ala al-ayyami dhu haydin bimushmakhirrin bihi al-dayyanu wal-asu. The Arabic poet said, nobody will survive. Even if it's a horned goat at an elevated location, surrounded with the best of shrubs and the best of food, even in that protected environment, that animal will die one day. Oh foolish man, what are you dreaming about that you will live? How many people go onto their app daily to see their bank balance 10 times a day? It's not going to get more, my brother. It's not going to get more. Just open up, and now you know what your finger is. Just press, the Quran says, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. Read. I cannot translate. Does he foolishly think his wealth is going to secure eternity for him? That's a verbatim translation. Open it and read it. Yahsabu, does he think? Now you know, you're having this full day and you're gathering and you think you're going to strike this deal and you're going to make this money. And then you come for Maghrib and Allah says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ. Allah crushes all that arrogance. Woe be to that person who speaks ill of people in their presence and behind their back. Only worried to gather his money and counting it. جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. Counting, gathering, amassing, counting. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدًا. Does he foolishly think the more he has, the longer he lives? كَلَّا. I often quote that English quotation. It's so amazing. They say some people are so poor, the only thing they have is money. Some people are so poor, the only thing they have is money. They don't have a family, they don't have parents, they don't have children. Meaning the social structure, they have nothing, they have only money. And some people are so rich, the only thing they don't have is money. You come home and there's muhabbat and understanding, you have a palace, you have everything. And if you come home, there's no understanding, there's no mutual cooperation, you have nothing. And yes, if Allah has given you wealth and muhabbat, then there's no one greater and more virtuous and more blessed than you. مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَالْمَالُ حُلْوٌ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ. Ibn Asakir's narration, Abdullah ibn Umar says, I was feeling to eat some meat. So I sat down and the meat was presented to me. So just when I was about to eat, Umar radiallahu anhu came. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, what's this? So he said, no, dad, it's meat. Ma hadha lahm. Limada ta'akul ishtahaytuhu. It's been long, I haven't had meat. So Umar radiallahu anhu being the son of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar groomed by the Nabi of Allah. And Abdullah ibn Umar groomed by Umar. What more can I tell you about such a rich legacy? Awa kullama ishtahayta shay'an akaltahu. Since when is it that every time you desire for something, you give it to your ego? I was flying, sitting in business class, and I see a youngster sitting with me in business, 11 years old, and his parents in economy. So, okay, I didn't want to probe it too much. You know, I told you, we were flying in business class, and I sat down in my seat, and then I seen this couple came. So the wife had a seat adjacent to me, and the husband had a seat slightly at a distance. So I was quite comfortable to move my seat. I was traveling alone. So I said, gentlemen, I'm happy. I said, my brother, I'm married. I know what you need a gap. I'm with you. Really, no jokes. It's like, you know what? Oh, don't put me in a corner. It worked out well that we're not sitting together. No jokes. I mean, like, brother, you happy to sit in? No, thank you. Okay, right, no problem. You know, they say, mujhme aur meri biwi mein ajeeb ittifaq hai. Sone ki goli wo leti hai, sukoon mujhe milta hai. Myself and my wife, we paid up amazingly. She pops asleep in Pearl, I sleep better. He said, love, I bought you 3 tickets to go to the circus and the faith and that. Why 3? For you and your parents. Why? No, I just wanted a break. No, genuine. I said, brother, lovely. No issues. You're flying, you need a bit of humor. It's fine, it's okay. So anyway, disembarking, the parents, they came up and they probably felt a bit awkward. He said, I took my son, and I gave him a treat once. So I said, let's just upgrade him. He said, now the boy would throw a tantrum. He wouldn't sit in economy. And if you do the maths, it will cost you an arm and a leg, right? It's hectic figures. It's exorbitant amounts. It's an exploited market. Right? So he wouldn't do it, and he throws a tantrum. So Abdullah ibn Umar, أَوَكُلَّمَا إِشْتَهَيْتَ شَيْئًا أَكَلْتَهُ. So every time you want something, you just get it. Oh, okay? So then what you doing? When we keep on giving our children what they want, we are creating a monster. That's a monster in the making. That's a monster in the making. There's time for everything. Allah tested the Sahaba in the initial, and then Allah gave them. But at the time Allah gave them, they had no attachment for this world. No attachment, nothing, nothing, nothing. So much wealth came. When the wealth came into Medina, Umar radiallahu anhu started crying. And he said, am I not amongst those people that Allah said, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. That you enjoyed your comfort in this world and there's nothing for you in Akhirah. So people said, no, Umar, see how much Allah has blessed you. Umar said, don't deceive me. This was a blessing. Then why did Allah keep it away from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr? If I had to think with my eyes, you know what? We're not saying anything less about Abu Bakr, but you know what? You can decide. Look at how Allah favored. Look at my eye. I would want to latch on to credit and acknowledgement. Sayyidina Umar said, if it's also great to have this wealth and amenities, then why didn't it come in the era of Abu Bakr? Why did it only come to me? If it's so wholesome and awesome and brilliant and amazing, then why does it come to me? Don't fool me. Then he said, Allah, we're not amongst those people who say or claim we don't love this world. We love it. We're asking you give us the ability to spend it in a way that you love us. Oh, look at Umar radiallahu anhu. Allah, we are not amongst those people. And then the chain. Umar radiallahu anhu nurtures his son. Abdullah ibn Umar nurtures his son. Anna ibn Abdullah. One day one of the sons of Abdullah ibn Umar came to him. So his lower garment was slightly torn. So he came to Abdullah ibn Umar and he said, Dad, please man, I need a new trouser. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, اقطعه والبسه. Wherever it's torn, just cut it and wear the trouser. فَكَرِهَ الْفَتَى. So the narration says, you could immediately see the son became angry and, he had to mocharawe. Then you see the youngster, I'm not talking of Abdullah ibn Umar's son, I'm talking of my son, I'm talking of your son, I'm talking of our children. You see immediately that pawpaw face, and you see that symptoms of disapproval, and you see that aggression, and then you see him, blurting something. My youth, I say to you one thing, from my years that Allah has given me and I've seen and I've traveled, a quick way to expedite your life is to take the du'as of your parents. You'll see spiritual growth, you'll see material growth, you'll see every growth in your life. And as long as you're going to be banging your head against this year, you're not going to be inching forward, never mind leaping forward. But the day you make peace with your parents, and the day you take their blessings on board, you will be amazed how things will materialize in your life beyond comprehension. I share this in gratitude to Allah and as a motivation to others and nothing else. Allah is my witness. I got nothing to pontify, my brother. My life, Allah knows my weakness, and I cry to Allah, and I ask Allah to guide me and to guide you. My mom, may Allah reward her, and my dad, may Allah reward him, and may Allah reward our beloved parents for the lovely upbringing they've given us. Every time she prays and she makes dua for me, that when you sit on the minbar, may Allah inspire you. And may Allah let you say words that you never read or heard or dreamt of, but may Allah let your tongue flow. And I've repeatedly seen this, and I only say this to motivate others. Nothing to pontify myself. And I came back from Australia one trip, and she asked me, how were your programs? And I said, it went off well. And she said to me, may Allah bring the day that you give a talk in the haram. And I said, Ameen. But I said, no, that's not going to happen. I know, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. But Amin. I didn't say it to her, I didn't verbalize it. I was thinking loud. Anyway, it was done. I got back, it was Ramadan. A few days later, a friend phoned me and he said, we're off to Aqsa, please join us. So I said, I'm on. Anyway, we're not going to go through the details of the whole thing. I get to Aqsa, and news gets around amongst the South Africans that I have arrived. And somebody has close contact with the custodians and the trustees of the Haram Masjid Aqsa. And they say, there's a sheikh visiting from South Africa here. And he's a prominent scholar. I'm just mimicking, I'm not, but I'm saying what they said. And we would love you to have a meeting with him. So they arranged for me to give a talk to all the South Africans in the Atikaf area, which I acceded to, and I obliged. So I gave a talk there. And then they made me meet with this brother who was very influential. And then he facilitated a visit to all the A'imma of Masjid Aqsa. And then he said, tonight is the 27th night. We have the largest congregation. We see about 500,000 people. And after the completion of the Quran in the Qiyamul Layl, from the mimbar in front, it's your talk. So I said, no, Sheikh, I will not able to take on this mammoth task. It's too colossal and I'm not going to able to digest this. And I said, no. He said, no, please, Sheikh, you've got to give it. I said, listen, understand, I've just flown in today. I'm tired, I'm exhausted. It's the Haram, it's the place where the Nabi of Allah led all the Anbiya. As a non-Arab, what am I going to be doing here? And what can I be speaking here from this blessed, sacred mimbar where Anbiya had stood? Anyway, I went back. The Quran was completed. I had done an interview on Radio Islam from Masjid Aqsa there. And the thoughts were playing in my mind. And I said, no. I went to the hotel, we just had a little bite and we came back. The brother came back to me, Qiyamul Layl was taking place and he's looking for me. And the whisper and the dua of my mother was getting louder and louder. The dua was getting louder and louder. And I could just see how things were shaping in, and my mom's prayer was now formulating. It was taking its size, it was taking its shape, it was carving itself in. I had no clue I'm going to Aqsa. I had no clue it's going to be the 27th night. I had no clue that were the numbers that were going to assemble, leave alone standing and speaking there. And lo and behold, before I knew, I was sitting at that sacred place where the Anbiya sat, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam led. And again, please don't get me wrong, my brother, I have nothing. I'm only saying this to the youth, for Allah's sake, for Allah's sake. I'm kneeling before you. I'm holding my hands. Take the du'as of your parents. Take the du'as of your parents. And Allah made it possible. In an hour in Arabic I spoke. And I still cannot register for the sake of my mind the sheer privilege. But when I tie it with the du'a of my mother, then وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزِ. Nothing is impossible. Everything happens. Anyway, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he tells his son, when his son asks him for a garment, he says, just cut it and wear it. فَكَرِهَ الْفَتَى. The young boy says, no. He doesn't feel comfortable. So Abdullah ibn Umar says, لَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَجْعَلُونَ مَا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ وَعَلَى ظُهُورِهِمْ. Oh my son, don't be amongst those people that whatever money they got, it's wearing better clothes and eating better food. Oh my son, don't be amongst those people. The narration of Ibn Asakir, somebody came from Iraq. So he brought some jawarish. So he said, oh Abdullah, I've come from Iraq, I've brought you some jawarish. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, what is jawarish? He said, it's digestive herbs. Shay'un idha kadhaka ta'am ay athqalak. I'll try and draw it to a close, brothers. But you know, my clothes can be also long. You commence your descent, but then it's still 45 minutes if it's a long flight. Right. Yeah. لَقَدْ بَدَتِ الطَّائِرَ الْهُبُوتُ التَّدْرِيجِ, as they say. The gradual descent. May Allah reward you for your numbers and for your attendance. And may Allah make it a means that He assemble us in Akhirah as He has assembled us today. And may we reflect over this day, and may this day be the day that forgave us all. May our assembly year be the one that changes our destiny otherwise. And really Allah can do it, my brother. Effect the change. I ask Allah to let me effect my change. And I ask Allah to inspire you. So he says, you know, when you have overeaten and you bloated, you know, when you eat too much, then you take in Tums and you take in Nexium Advance, double strength, and you take in that Lansoprazole and Gaviscon, and then they're doing colonoscopy, and I got a reflux problem, so that's why I'll tell you those things, you know. you pop in all those pills. So this is something, when you eat too much and you bloated, then you can take these digestive herbs. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, ما ملأت بطني طعاما منذ 40 سنة. I've never eaten to my fill, never mind over 8, for the last 40 years. So I appreciate the herbs, but what am I going to do with the herbs? I appreciate. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar said, I bought some camels and then I brought it to the Baytul Mal pastures and I put it there to graze. فَلَمَّا سَمِنَتْ, when they became healthy, I brought it to the marketplace and I started selling my camels. So Umar radiallahu anhu walks in, فَدَخَلَ عُمَرُ أَسُّوقْ فَرَآ إِبِلًا سِمَانًا. So Umar radiallahu anhu sees these healthy camels. So he said, لِمَنْ هَذَا الْإِبِلِ, whose camels? They said, these are your son's camels. Oh, بَخِّن, mashallah, mashallah, my son. This is my son. So he calls Abdullah, he says, Abdullah, what's this all about? He says, no, with my money. You know, it's my money. Hey, that's a dangerous. How do you say that to your parents? I often say to my students, how do you show your knowledge to the man who taught you Alif Ba? How do you come loud in front of your own ustad? How do you come loud? Al-Abdu Abdun wa intaraqqa wa Rabbu Rabbun wa intanazzal. In Arabic they say, a servant is a servant even when he ascends. And Almighty is the Almighty even when he descends. Even when you ascend, you're a servant. No, my money. Oh, that's a dangerous statement. That breeds arrogance. That breeds haughtiness. My money, Dad. That's my money. Oh. That needs Islah. Nothing is mine. How do you say that? No, it is my phone. I bought it with my money. Yeah, okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. هلك عن ما أغنى عني ماليا ما أغنى عني ماليا هلك عني سلطانيا. By Allah, understand the Quran. Make an attempt to understand the Quran. You will look for the Taraweeh where Quran is read the slowest. You will look and Allah will give you pleasure in Quran. You will stand and you will enjoy it. But if you don't make an effort and you don't exert yourself, then I'm afraid you won't take pride in listening to Quran. Ma aghna anni maliya, alaka anni sultaniya, khuduhu faghullu. He'll come in front of Allah and say, oh man, in this world my money did me so many things, but here it's doing me nothing. It's not buying me anything. So Abdullah ibn Umar, Sayyidina Umar said, oh, very nice. You bought your camels with your money, then you bring it to the national pastures. And then you put it here, and whether you say it or not, inevitably you enjoy preferential treatment, because everybody is going to say, this is Abdullah ibn Umar's son's camels. Ibnu ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know who's... Yeah, no, it's the boss's wife, so you know what I mean? Yeah. No, I don't know what you mean. I don't know, are you looking after your job or... you know? So obviously your camel got preferential treatment. So they grazed in the national pastures and they gained strength out of it. Listen to me, my son. We don't want to argue with this here. Let's be clean here. You take your camel, you go sell it. Whatever was your capital investment, you claim it, and all the profit and the dividends goes into the national treasury. When Umar kept an eye like that on his son, that was the time he could say it to anyone in public and nobody could point fingers to him. But in our society, I'm afraid there are two standards. There is nepotism. There is preferential treatment. There's disparity. There's discrepancy. Let me share with you a quick incident just to show you Umar across the board. So he writes a letter to Feroz Daylami. He said, Feroz, I know I put you as a governor, but I'm here, you live in soft. بَلَغَنِي أَنَّهُ قَدْ شَغَلَكَ أَكْلُ اللُّبَابِ بِالْعَصْلِ. I see you eating soft food and you're not looking after your post. You receive my letter, come quickly. So anyway, he gets the note. He makes his presence in the court of Umar radiallahu anhu. Fate had it such, just when he's about to enter the house of Umar, there's a youngster, and Feroz Daylami and this youngster has a bit of an argument and an altercation. So Feroz radiallahu anhu, in a fit of rage, slapped the youngster. And then he injured him and bruised him, and his nose was bleeding. فَدَخَلَ الْفَتَى وَهُوَ مُسْتَدْمِي. And the youngster comes in and he's bleeding. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, what's this all about? He says, no, Feroz is outside, and you know, we had an argument and he hit me. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, bring him in. So he was ushered in. When he came in, Sayyidina Umar said, now what's all this? He said, كَتَبْتَ إِلَيَّ وَلَمْ تَكْتُبْ إِلَيْهِ. You asked me to come, you didn't ask him to come. As I was coming, he pushed me and I felt offended. And yes, I lost myself momentarily and I hit him. So Umar said, okay. And now, you know, Islamically, we have to take qisas. You are much more senior and older, he's young and juvenile. But you've hurt him, and by Islam, the yardstick measures you equally. So Feroz Dailami said, can't we work around this? Umar said, no, this is the justice of Islam. It's one fits all. Look at Umar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Fajata Feirozun ala rukbatay. So Feroz Dailami kneels down, an elderly, a veteran, a prominent, a senior, a stalwart. But justice is justice, my brother. Today you're an employer and he's an employee. But tomorrow in front of Allah, you are all servants. Today I'm a father and you're a child, my son. But tomorrow in front of Allah, in kullu man fis samawati wal ardi illa atir rahmani abda. Illa at, all the titles are taken a place. That is why the ulama say the greatest regret will be for that master or employer who ends up in hell and sees his servant and employee in paradise. But you were under my clutches whole life, and today you see the man in Jannah and you see yourself in hell. They say that is one of the pinnacle of regrets of the occupants of hell, to see a man who lived at my mercy and today he's sailing in paradise and I'm burning in hell. May Allah protect us. So nobody has a monopoly over faith. Nobody can talk loud because we have no guarantees in place. Still I'm breathing and you breathing, we don't know what's happening. So anyway, he kneels down and the young boy is now about to hit him. Umar radiallahu anhu said, ala rislika, oh young boy, just pause, can I whisper something in your ears? He said, yeah, okay, whisper. He said, you know, just before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, in his fatal illness, there was a man by the name of Aswad Anasi. He claimed falsely prophethood. And he said, I'm a prophet. I was seeing one video clip of one person. He said, you know, I am the Mahdi. And he didn't even say, I'm the Mahdi. I mean, what a world we live in. So the brother, the host was saying, okay brother, no problem, we don't want to get serious and personal here. You know the Mahdi will speak Arabic? Can you speak Arabic? A'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ya Allah, ya Allah, where are we living, my Allah? Where are we living? Where are we living? At what level have people degenerated to? Can I whisper something in your ears? Yeah. There was a man by the name of Aswad Anasi, and he said, I'm a prophet. And then it was this very man who was kneeling down, stood up, he rose to the challenge, and he put him to the end. And he wiped that man out, who laid claim to false prophet. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, that Rahimallahu al-Abd al-Salih, al-Fayroz Daylami, qatal al-Aswad al-Anasi. May Allah have mercy on Fayroz Daylami radiyallahu anhu. He had put an end to the evil element of the imposter who claimed prophethood. So this man who's kneeling down, just for the record, as much as you entitle, I just want to let you know that he walks around with the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he had put an end to the false prophet. Do you think you still have the courage to hit him after knowing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this dua for him? Oh man Umar, we're in the annals of human history. We're not denying you your right. We're not stripping you of your privilege. We're only putting things into perspective. Of course, your father did the wrong and you're entitled. But do you know who your father is? Somebody came to Abu Darda. He said, my dad told me to get married. I got married. Now my dad says I must divorce my wife. What must I do? Abu Darda said, I'm not going to tell you keeper or divorcer. I'm just going to tell you what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about your dad. Then you can decide if you must listen to him or not. Al-walidu awsatu abwabil jannah. Fa-in shi'ta hafidh ala dhalika al-bab wa-in shi'ta da'. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jannat has many doors. There isn't a greater door to enter than kindness to your father. May Allah make us amongst those who serve our parents. Now you decide. You decide for yourself. You decide for yourself. So then the young boy said, no. I am not going to. So look at Feroz Dailami. He looked at Umar. He said, okay, oh Umar, I acknowledge my wrong. He has forgiven me. Will my acknowledgement and his pardon, will this acquit me and free me off in the court of Allah? Will the thing be now closed up and wiped out in akhirat, no implications? Umar said, I'm optimistic, the chapter closes here. He said, Ushhiduka anna mali, anna farasi, wa sayfi, wa thalatina alfam min mali hibatan lahu. Okay, then as a token of joy to this young boy, you can have my horse also, you can have my sword, and I just have 30,000 with me now, you can have that. Oh man. And look at this error. So what does Umar say? Umar says to the young boy, عَفَوْتَ مَأْجُورًا وَأَخَذْتَ مَالًا كَثِيرًا. I salute your honor. You pardoned him and earned Jannah, collected his money and earned dunya. Hi. It couldn't be better for you, man. But look at how Umar facilitated it. One, two other incidents. Somebody came to Abdullah ibn Umar and he said, "Aniktub ilayya bil ilmi kulli." Give me a summary of knowledge. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, one brother came to me, I got no knowledge. After the talk, he said, "I want to do a sim swap." So I said, "Sim swap? No, my phone." He said, "No, your brain." I said, "I don't know how we're going to do it. But anyway, no problem. If you want to do it, good luck, my brother. But I got nothing, my brother." You know, the reality is, we haven't read and sit with those who got knowledge, so we think others have knowledge. Sit by those who really have knowledge and study those who gave their lives. You will know I have nothing, nothing. None of us have. Those who have knowledge, somebody mentioned to one of my teachers, he said, "Isn't the sleep of the ulama is ibadah?" He said, "Correct, but all those ulama are in their graves." The sleep of ulama is ibadah. He said, "Correct, but all those ulama who sleep is ibadah in their graves." Right? So anyway, he said, "Aniktub ilayya bil ilmi kulli." Give me a summary of knowledge. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, "Al-ilmu kathir." Knowledge is a lot. "Walakin in istata'ta an talqa Allah azza wa jalla khafif al-dhahr min dima'i an-nas, khamis al-batn min amwalihim, kaff al-lisani an a'radihim faf'al." Listen, knowledge is a lot, but I can tell you, if you do three things, you've summarized knowledge. Meet Allah in a way that your hands are not stained with the blood of a Muslim. Meet Allah in a way that your body hasn't been nourished with the wealth unlawfully of any human. And meet Allah that your tongue hasn't hurt or offended anyone. You've practiced deen in its entirety. You've practiced deen in its entirety. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, "Adrakna as-salaf wa hum la yarawna al-ibadata fi as-salati wala fi as-sawm walakin fi al-kaffi an a'radi an-nas. فصائم النهار وقائم الليل إن لم يحفظ لسانه أفلس يوم القيامة." Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, "I stayed with the pious, and they didn't take piety to be fasting and worshiping prayer, were worshiping Allah through salah and fasting. They didn't consider that to be piety, but they believe piety to be those who restrain their tongue. فقائم الليل, the one who spent the whole night in worship, وصائم النهار, and the one who fasted the entire day. If he didn't restrain his tongue, he will stand up as a beggar and a pauper on the day of Qiyamah." Abdullah ibn Umar, the narration is, "Ma la'ana ibn Umar khadiman qattu." In his entire life, he never verbally abused one slave. Right? And we all have workers, children, employees, domestic. Who doesn't get provoked? One day, he was about to curse. He said, Allahummal. He wanted to say, "Allahumma al'an." Oh Allah, curse him. And then he said, "Hadihi kalimatun ma uhibbuha." No. Allah, I'm not saying this word. Allah, I don't like this. I despise it. And he said, "I was about to verbally abuse you, but I retracted it. But I'm saying to you, for the pleasure of Allah, I have liberated you. Sayyidina Umar said, "La yu'jibannakum min ar-rajuli tantanatuhu." Don't be thrilled by the eloquence of a man. Don't be impressed by the oratory abilities of a man. Don't be mesmerized by the skills of a man. وَلَكِنَّ الرَّجُلْ مَنْ كَفَّ عَنْ أَعْرَاضِ النَّاسِ وَأَدَّ الْأَمَانَةِ فَهُوَ الرَّجُلْ. But you know who's a real human? Who restrains his tongue. Who doesn't hurt people. Who doesn't offend. I keep on saying, if you can't help, don't hurt. If you can't say a kind word, don't say a bad word. Tufail ibn Ubay ibn Ka'b. Tufail was a tabi, Ubay ibn Ka'b was a sahabi. He says, every day Abdullah ibn Umar used to meet me, say, "Tufail, come, let's go." I say, "Okay, come." Then we go to the marketplace. Lam yamur Abdullah ibn Umar ala sahibi bay'a wala ala saqqat illa sallam. Then he'll meet a hawker, he'll meet a man selling on the street, a man in the shop, Slaunikum, greet everyone. One day he told me, "Please, Abdullah ibn Umar, join me." Fastatba'ani. Ay talabani an attabi'ahu fi dhihabi. Please accompany me. So I said, "Abdullah, listen, I don't mind coming with you, but if you don't take offense, you do nothing there. We go to the marketplace, you do nothing. Anta la taqifu ala al-bay' wa la tas'al 'an as-sil'i wa la tasumu biha." So he said, exactly, I don't do anything tangible or physical, but now look at this here. This is another twist to the beauty of Abdullah ibn Umar. Wa kana Tufail dha batnin. Tufail rahimahullah, he was a little hefty. He was a little hefty. They say, "Mashallah, you're moving forward in life." وَكَانَ الطُّفَيْلُ ذَا بَطْنٍ. He was a little hefty. So he said, Ya Aba Batn, O hefty man. And let me pause here and say, this was the beauty, and that's the user-friendly nature of Islam. As pious as he was, there was a whole other chapter of his humor. You know, sometimes we hit that other level. Then now we're on another level by Jibreel is visiting us. The Nabi of Allah is in the cave. The Nabi of Allah is in the cave. Jibreel comes to visit him, embraces him. Nisbat-e-in-ikasi takes place. He's inspired. He comes home. He doesn't tell Khadija, Khadija, take a guess. What? No, but take a guess. Just take a guess. But Khadija, take a guess. Another guess. Jibreel met with me, and inshallah tomorrow Mika is coming. Like we trumpet ourselves, we blow ourselves. Huh? The Nabi of Allah came home, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, whenever anybody was a miser, he used to sing these couplets, يُحِبُّ الْخَمْرَ مِمْ مَالِ النُّدَامَ وَيَكْرَهُ أَن تُفَارِقَهُ الْفُلُوسُ. Yeah, he likes to drink alcohol from other people's money, and he can't part with his own. You know, talk is cheap, money buys the whiskey. Now, you say, hey, how can you use the word whiskey, brother? That's a haram terminology, right? You know, and Ramadan, relax, my brother, relax. Please, have a balance, man, have a balance. You see, our humor must be guided by fiqh. Murid Hajli paying tribute to Muhammad ibn Sirin. Muhammad ibn Sirin was a great jurist. They say, kana idha shtadda al-duha, when it was midday, yanzilu ala suq al-basra. He used to come to the marketplace of Basra. Then what he used to do? يُمَازِحُهُمْ وَيَبْتَسِمْ وَيُوَزِّعُ الْبَسَمَاتِ. He was the muhaddith of the time, but at 10, 11 o'clock he used to go to the shop in the marketplace. Then he used to give candy. He used to smile to the people, make, give them a sense of humor, make them happy. This was his practice. And that was the catalyst that because of this practice of his gatherings of hadith had more numbers than all his contemporaries. All his contemporaries didn't enjoy the volumes that he's. Why? They say every morning come, they just make people happy, greet them, give a smile, give a chocolate, make people happy. That was his noble practice. May Allah make us among them. So that was the practice. He said, Ya Aba Batn, inna naghdu min ajli salam. Oh Abu Batn, oh hefty man, we're only going to make salam. We're only going to greet. Salam, that's the reason we're going. Salam is so great, so wholesome, so wonderful. But unfortunately, we've lost it. The last point that I want to mention, during the time of fitna, and that was an era that was a reality there, there was a lot of fitna, you know, regarding difference of opinion on khilafat, etc. And I'm not going into the details, but many people came and made proposals to Abdullah ibn Umar that you're the man to steer the ummah. It's crisis. This the ummah is in crisis. وَأَنْتَ سَيِّدُهُمْ وَبْنُ سَيِّدِهِمْ وَالنَّاسُ بِكَ رَاضُونَ. People are happy with you. Come out, please, please. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, no, I'm not going to embrace the position of authority and power. Because I don't want to be embroiled in a skirmish or in an altercation. Or I don't want to be implicated. Or I don't want my speech to be misconstrued. And if I sit in the position of power, inevitably I will have to take the heat and the implications. So please, I'm going to stay clean out of it. So then they threatened him. They said, لَتَخْرُجَنْ أَوْ لَتُقْتَلَنْ لَتَخْرُجَنْ أَوْ لَتُقْتَلَنْ. Either you embrace power or then you will lose your life. He said, I will die oppressed than live as an oppressor. I will die oppressed as a victim of oppression and tyranny, but I will not stand up or die as an oppressor. And then in one narration it comes, it was said to him, يُكْتَبْ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِينَ مَا لَا تَحْتَاجُ أَنْتَ وَلَا بَعْدُ. We will write so many assets, just accept the position. Undercover we will give you so much wealth that you and your progeny will sit soft for years and decades. You won't need to ask or have to work. He said, وَيْحَكْ إِنَّ دِينِي لَيْسَ بِدِينَارِكُمْ. Woe be to you, my faith is not so cheap that you can barter with money. إِنِّي أَرْجُ أَنْ أَخْرُجْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَيَدِي بَيْضَى نَقِيَّ. I wish I can leave this world pure, clean and wholesome, and my hands are not tainted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Abdullah ibn Umar and the galaxy of Sahaba a high abode in Jannah. I leave you with one thought-provoking quotation, because that's my general approach to galvanize and conclude and culminate. They say there are two types of people. You have one who's a thermometer and one who is a thermostat. What's the difference between the two? Both are instruments. A thermometer only gives you the reading of the temperature. That's the degrees. While a thermostat is something that can regulate the environment. It's high time we move from being thermometers and become thermostats. From being passive, we become active reformers. We don't just report on issues, but we regulate it. We effect the change. In English, they say, even a dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a living fish to swim upstream. It's no accomplishment to float downstream. There's no value in that. There's no achievement in that. There's no accolade in that. But to effect the change now, at this moment, you heard, I heard, not my talk, my brother, the talk of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And gradually you were making the commitment. The devil has no problems with our good intentions as long as it's for tomorrow. He's got no issue. But the day we effect the change now, and we become the thermostat now, that is the time the devil becomes uneasy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding, and may we effect the change immediately. And may this month of Ramadan be a month of greatness and goodness and blessings. And may Allah accept our tawbah all, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله علانيته وسره اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وزد وتحنن وترحم على حبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين O most kind, most loving, most gracious, most merciful Allah. Allah, your servants have gathered and assembled and congregated in the hundreds of Allah, seeking your mercy, optimistic of your pardon Allah, acknowledging their wrong Allah. We ask you through the greatness of this location, the blessed nature of this venue, O Allah, the momentous nature of this night, Allah, to forgive one and all, O Allah. O Allah, create in our hearts the true dislike for sin, Allah. Allah, let us abhor, shun, and believe sin to be evil, despise it, and repugnant, O Allah. O Allah, those that are not pardoned on this night are people who have severed ties with their family, Allah. Make us amongst those who join ties, Allah. Those that won't be pardoned are those who are indulging intoxicants, Allah. Those amongst us, O Allah, that are guilty of intoxicants, Allah, free them this moment, Allah, and create in their hearts the dislike of the sin, O Allah, and make them ambassadors to prevent other youth from succumbing to this vice, O Allah. Allah, those of us that our parents are alive, grant them a handsome reward, grant them siha, grant them health. Allah, prolong them with afiyah. Allah, reward them abundantly, handsomely, repeatedly, Allah. Allah, keep your special shadow over them, Allah. Grant them shifa, grant them strength and sihat and afiyah. And those amongst us who've lost our parents, Allah, give us the ability to bring joy to their families and their relatives and their acquaintances, O Allah. Allah, let their soul be comforted this moment by our humble, simple, meager prayer, O Allah. Allah, elevate their abodes in Jannah, O Allah. Free them from any form of azab and difficulty in Akhirah, O Allah. Allah, there is so much unrest in our country. There's political turbulence, Allah. There's uncertainty, O Allah. Allah, there is killing and looting, Allah. Surely we are the sinners, Allah. We are the architects of our own destiny by our own wrong, O Allah, in the sense that we are perpetrating the wrong, Allah. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي As you have declared in the Quran, that you put evil rulers over evil people, O Allah. We repent to you, Allah, and we ask you to give us good rulers, O Allah. We ask you to give us good people, Allah. Allah, give us the ability to spend from the wealth that we have, O Allah. Allah, give us the ability to flush out any negativity or racism or prejudice or biased nature that is in us, O Allah. Give us the ability of brotherhood and muhabbat and unity, O Allah. Let us show respect to one and all, Allah. Allah, you put an end to all this killing and anarchy and looting, O Allah, and grant us safety, security, and amnesty, Allah. Allah, those that have lost their shops, those that have lost their lives, those that have lost their belongings, Allah, you grant them a good replacement, O Allah. Allah, those that are crying for housing and crying for basic shelter, Allah, you provide them with the necessary shelter, O Allah. Allah, you give us the ability to be generous like Abdullah ibn Umar, Allah. You give us the ability to be generous like Abdullah ibn Umar. Allah, instill within us the love of the Quran, O Allah. Allah, reward our ulama and our scholars and our stalwarts and the legends of our community, those amongst us and those that have moved on, O Allah, those that have toiled because of which we pluck the fruits and enjoy good time, O Allah. Allah, those amongst us that are sick, grant them a complete shifa, Allah. Those that are in a financial crisis, grant them ease, Allah, and grant them financial ease, O Allah. O Allah, those that are in any other form of difficulty, those that are desirous of partners, grant them suitable partners. Those that are married and are desirous of children, fill their lap with beautiful, handsome, bouncing babies, O Allah. Those that are blessed with children, Allah, and their children are disobedient, Allah, you reform and rehabilitate their children, Allah. Allah, as we inch closer to the sacred month, Allah, we ask you to make us amongst those people that can witness this month, O Allah. Those that can value this month, O Allah. Allah, give us the ability that whatever change we were experiencing while listening to the talk, and whatever commitments and that spirituality that was watering and nourishing our soul, Allah, may we sustain that as we exit from this masjid, O Allah. May we exhibit this, may we translate this, O Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharrin masta'adhaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.